Welcome to CWH. I'm Mike Salem. Thank you for watching today's program. We hope our broadcasts bring you comfort as you hear the Word of God. And with our website, cwh.org, you can find more resources that help minister to you. Today, I want to share notes of thanks with you. An Iowa viewer writes, "Thank you for making God's Word available to so many people across the world. We are truly blessed to be able to continue to hear them. They never get old." In Florida, "Thank you for keeping CWH on TV. They make us feel better. They bless us and keep us strong in His Word." And in Canada, "Thank you so much for being my church when I'm not able to attend my own. I appreciate your service so much. God bless everyone who is involved." Today's message, "Demons, Satan's Secret Agents," speaks of Satan afflicting people all over the world, fighting the people of God. Keep your eyes on Jesus, and God bless you.
I'm Pastor Salem, and I want to welcome you to the Christian Worship Hour. And another week has rolled by, that means we're 1 week closer to the coming of the Lord. And who knows, wouldn't it be something if He come this week, or maybe even during the service? But I hope He doesn't come before the sermon. But whenever He's ready, we're sure ready, and the sooner the better, really. Well, we're looking at Psalm 100 today, where the psalmist writes, "Make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye lands. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before His presence with singing. Know ye that the Lord, He is God. It is He that hath made us, and not we ourselves. We are His people and the sheep of His pasture. Enter into His gates with thanksgiving, into His courts with praise. Be thankful unto Him. Bless His name, for the Lord is good. His mercy is everlasting, and His truth endureth to all generations." Heavenly Father, what a wonderful, wonderful God who made all things, created all things. By You, all things consist or hold together. And someday You're going to come to this earth, and You're going to take us out of this world. And there's going to be a new Jerusalem, and a new heaven, and a new earth. And we're going to dwell and remain with You forever. But we know, oh God, that the people have to have Jesus in order to get there. There's only one way. And oh, we're praying today, if people that are outside of You, they never put their faith in Jesus, they never call on the name of the Lord, we're just praying that the Holy Spirit will help them, that they'll open their hearts to the Savior and find everlasting life and everlasting joy. And then we can rejoice in You. Well, that's our prayer in Jesus' name. Amen. And Jan has a song that goes along with this wonderful thought. "In my heart there rings a melody," and God bless you, Jan.
Yeah.
Well, thank you, Jan, and that's sure the gospel. When you have Jesus, you'll have joy and you'll have peace in your heart. You may not be rich and you may not have good health and you may go bankrupt and whatever it is. I don't know what, you know, Job was a most righteous man of his day. We know that because God said that. He is the most righteous man of his day. And yet he lost his property, he lost his children, he lost his health. But he still said when his wife said, "Why don't you, Job, why don't you curse God and die and get it over with?" And he said, "Though he slay me, yet will I trust him." And so just because you're Christian doesn't mean everything's going to break right. But there'll be peace and there'll be joy and there'll be happiness no matter what way the wind blows. What a wonderful, wonderful Savior. Well, we always like to read the letters. People like to hear the letters. And sometimes I get the idea that maybe they like the letters better than the sermon. And I don't go for that. I won't vote for that because I got to put in my 2 cents worth. But I think letters are wonderful because what are people thinking? What are they talking about? What are they experiencing? What are their needs? What are their feelings? And so that's what we're going to do, share some of the letters. Then when we're done, you get your pencil and paper ready, and we'll give you the address, and maybe you'll write us a letter and send us a gift also to help us in the work. Well, here's a letter from Bismarck, North Dakota. "We listen to your program every Sunday. We are homebound. I had my leg amputated. Your program has pulled us through many hardships and gave us a lift to keep on going. Thanks for being there for us. We never miss it." And so here's some people that are having some real troubles and trials. And the devil just afflicts the people of God all over the world. And so that we have what the persecuted church, where people are really just dying because of their faith in Jesus. They're standing true. And so we always pray for the people, pray for the persecuted church. And then we pray for people that are going through hard, deep waters, fiery times. But I can assure you this, the Lord Jesus knows exactly. He was tempted in all points like as we are. He had all the infirmities that we have except without sin. And he knows where you're at. And he prays for you and he loves you. And he will help you through the deepest waters. And in those times of testing and trial, you can be a witness for Jesus and bring somebody else to Jesus. Oh, it's great to walk with the Lord. Whether it's up or down, that's the only way to travel. Let's see, Ludington, Michigan. "I'm 93 years old and mostly homebound. I have attended your service for the past 4 or 5 years. And listen to this. I recruited 3 other families to listen to the service. I feel being a missionary is one of the greatest avocations for a Christian, and I am unable to physically do that. God bless you all." So she's a missionary, and she's getting people to listen to this service. And now if you get to listen to this service, you're going to hear the way of salvation. We pound that over and over and over, because unless you're saved, you don't have any hope in this life or the life to come. And you can be just as good, and you can be just as upright as you want to be, but if you're not born again, you're not going to get to heaven. You're going to be in a place called hell that Jesus talked about. That's why we just preach it over and over. Don't miss it. And oh, we get so many letters from people that say, "We heard the message. We heard the gospel. We prayed to accept Jesus. While the service was going, we prayed with you and accepted Jesus." We get those letters all the time. And so that's what we're praying today. And this dear lady's getting people to listen in, and they could get saved. She's a missionary, 93-year-old missionary. Well, God bless you. I got you beat a couple of years, about 3 years now, but we're just preaching the Lord. I'll preach, and you get people to listen. People get saved. The Holy Spirit will do their work, and there you'll have it. We'll see them in heaven. Here's Ashland, Missouri. "Thank you for your plain, no frills service." That's exactly what it is. We are down home, and we're everyday people, and we love Jesus, and we're telling the world about Jesus. And, you know, God's word doesn't need any frills and any dress up or anything else. You just need to preach it. And you know there's a station on the island of Cyprus, Isle of Cyprus. And they'll take 15 minutes every day, and all they do is read the Bible. No singing, no preaching, nothing. And I don't know if they're going now, but when I was there, for years they'd done that, and they got letters from people all over listening to the Word of God. They just read the Word of God. And that's what we do. We just read the Word of God. We preach the Word of God. We sing the Word of God. And that's where the power is. The transforming power is in the Word of God. No frills. You bet. No frills around this place. Here's Frederick, South Dakota. Oh, look at here. Pastor Salem, I get to watch you at my grandma's house. I am five. 5 years old. And I'm sure she had her mother write this because, boy, she wrote awful good for a five-year-old. But anyway, the point I want to make is our singing and our preaching is through a five-year-old child can understand it. That's the way Jesus did, didn't he? He gave the parables. He gave the stories. He made it. His teachings were sublime, and the greatest scholars can't fathom the depths of them, and yet they're just so that children can understand. I heard the Word of God when I was a little child. My mother read it to us and taught it to us, and at 10 years old, I accepted Jesus. If you can love your parents, you can love Jesus, can't you? 5 years old. Here's from Columbia, Missouri, the women's prison, Columbia, Missouri. I watched your program for the first time yesterday. I really liked it. I came to find Jesus as my Savior in the last 2 weeks. What a great way to start off the new year. I'm currently incarcerated in the Boone County Jail for a murder I did not commit. I am very interested in any and all materials you could send me so I can share my knowledge with others. And so we pray for this young lady in a women's prison. We pray the prisoners all the time. We hear from a lot of prisons. We hear from them from Washington to Rhode Island and Alaska down to Texas, all over the United States. We haven't heard one from out of the states, but we hear from so many. One prison, we heard from 14 different prisoners. And I always tell them, listen, God loves you and you love Jesus and you witness for Jesus. St. Paul was in prison and he witnessed for Jesus. And they'll listen to you. If I go there as a preacher, they'll say, oh, he doesn't know what it's all about. But if you're in there with them and you can live for Jesus and love Jesus, you can be a powerful witness. And who knows how many will come to know Jesus. You just be a witness. And I tell you something we do. We send a called the New Song. It's a little Bible study. And it's new every week, every month. It's new. And sometimes they use that for Sunday school lessons. Sometimes use it for prisons. And you just get your pencil and paper. I'll tell you how to get it. And it's one wonderful little paper. It'll bless you. It'll help you. West Fargo, North Dakota. Oh, yeah, look at here. So I'm thankful for your TV ministry. You make it clear how to receive Jesus. You're my storehouse. In the Bible, it says to give your first 10% to your storehouse. I'm grateful, I'm convicted of that. So I give my first 10% to you and God. I was afraid at first, but God has shown me to be faithful and trust him, and he'll provide all my needs. He's a loving father. He'll take care of us all who believe and accept Jesus into our heart. I always remember his word, God is in control. God bless you all for what you've done for me. And so here's a lady, and she's tithing. And she's sending that gift. And that's what God wants you to do. He wants you to give cheerfully. And I 10%, I'm going to tell you, my mother tithed and taught us to tithe in the Depression, the 30s. And you have no idea. If you didn't live through it, you don't have a ghost of an idea what it's like. And so she always taught us to tithe. And we've done that. Her little family of five done that all their life, now in their 80s. And so here's this lady, and she's talking about we should give cheerfully. And you know, sometimes, people don't give very cheerful, and they don't give much, and you have to wrestle it out of them. I read a story not very long ago. It's about a tourist, and this tourist came by, and she asked an old farmer, how much milk does that cow give? And the uneducated dairyman, he replied with his usual drawl, and he says, well, if you mean by voluntary contribution, she don't give none. But if you can get her corners so she can't kick none, an able-bodied man can take away 11 quarts a day. I thought, that's exactly like Christians. Now, there's some programs, and they'll give books, and they'll send special water, and they'll send ointments, they'll show, and what they're doing is they're just trying to milk something out of you, see? And you're not going to give it, and so they just beg, and they weasel around. And you know what we do? We just say, listen, we have to have money to carry on this work. If God lays it on your heart, you send it, and for almost 40 years, we've never been behind in our bills. And God provides, and when he stops providing, we'll stop. We'll know he's done with us. But until then, we'll keep preaching. So you need to pray. Dear God, is this something that you want? Is this something you can use? And should I give to it? And then if he says yes, give to it. Maybe he'll say no. There are other good services on the radio and television. Give to them or give to your church, your local church. Help that and get into the church and help the church. But if he says, yes, give, they say, how much? He'll tell you, and everything will work out fine. Here's a letter from Havana, Cuba. And I've heard from this man several times and have corresponded with him. And he says, I wish you could save a brief moment in order to pray to our Savior for my beloved Martha, who has severe health problems. Thank you in advance. Also, I still am listening here in Havana to your Sunday morning sermons and teachings on shortwave radio every week. God bless you for spreading the Lord's work, your brother in Jesus. And this is a dear brother. I'm not going to give his name, but I've written to him several times. We've written back and forth. And now his wife is sick, very sick. And wouldn't it be something if every people everywhere pray for this man, his Havana, Cuba, his wife's name is Martha. And he loves Jesus, and he's worried about his wife. And that's something we can do. We can pray for her. One more letter, Minot, North Dakota. Some time ago, I opened the door to my heart for Jesus to enter, and he certainly has. He has been with me by my side all through my bout with cancer. That's just the whole thing. That's what we got in mind. We want to comfort the people of God and the people having troubles, but we want to honor God and glorify God, and we want to win the people to Christ, to come to Jesus. Because if you don't have Jesus, you don't have anything. It's like God says, he that hath the Son hath life. He that hath not the Son of God hath not life. But the wrath of God abideth on him. That means hell. And you don't hear much about hell, but Jesus taught about hell, and he warned us to turn away. And so we pray that you'll just stand by and help us. Now you write to us and send your gift and your letters and your prayers, and if you're praying, to the Christian Worship Hour. Christian Worship Hour. And the box is 2002, Aberdeen, South Dakota, 57402. Or if you want to send a gift on the internet, you can get the ChristianWorshipHour.com, and you can send it anywhere from anywhere in the world, and we'll get it in United States currency, and we'll pay our bills. And we get gifts all the time from different parts of the world helping us, and the United States helping us. But we need to have your help. And James says, you have not because you ask not. If we don't tell you have a need, you probably figure, well, they got enough. But we are dependent on God's people. That's our only source of income. So you pray and ask God what he wants you to do. And I also want to assure you something. Whatever you give will be used for the preaching of the gospel. And What we do is we are a member of the Evangelical Council for Financial Accountability. And they audit our books so that they check every penny we get and every penny we spend. And they check us to the T. So it's all used. And if you want a copy of our budget or something like that, just write to us or get us on the internet. I think we got it on the internet. I don't know, but I know the Evangelical Council for Financial Accountability has it. So we'll be glad to send it to you. And so I just hope that you'll do that now. Now, all of you, I'm going to give that address again, especially to those in on shortwave. Christian Worship Hour, Box 2002, Aberdeen, South Dakota, 57402. So now Jan's going to play. I'm going to pray. And you give as God leads. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for these gifts in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you, Jan. God bless you and for your help and your ministry and music. We're reading from Ephesians chapter 6 today, and starting with the 10th verse. And this is kind of just sums up our battle with the demons, because today we're going to talk about the demons, Satan's secret agents. And believe me, they're real. And they fight the people of God all the time, all over the world. And so in Ephesians chapter 6, it tells us about this battle, this spiritual warfare that we have. And Paul says in verse 10, "Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil." And then there's what he says. "We wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places." That's the demons. That's the world of Satan and the demons. And we fight against them, and we're going to look at them in our service today, in our message today. But first of all, we're going to pray. And in our prayer, you know, every week we pray for the persecuted church, our brothers and sisters, they're part of our family, the family of God. And many of them dying, more dying now than at any time, I think, since the church was instituted. And so we pray for the persecuted church and the persecuted church in South Korea. And oh, they're going through hard times, many of them giving their life. God bless them. And so let's just pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we just will thank you that you may open our eyes so we know what's going on in this world. And we know we can see in this wonderful story, dear Lord, in your teachings about how that Satan is all there working. And he has many demons following him and he's fighting against us. But we thank you that you have the great power and the end result is going to be that Satan is defeated and all of the demons with him. And they put in a lake of fire that will last forever and ever. And so we're just praying today that you'll just help us as we're preaching, that the people of God will take heart, and especially the persecuted church. And we think of those in South Korea. And dear Lord, just we help them to know that they are a great example for us, that they encourage us and they strengthen us when we see their faith and we want to have that same faith. And it challenges us, and it challenges the whole church of God all around the world when they make those stands for you, and some of them by giving their life, oh God. And we just pray for the families that's left behind, and that and I know you'll provide for them, you'll help them, and someday the trumpet will sound, and there'll be an end to all of this horribleness that's going on in this world, and Satan will be cast away forever, and the Prince of Peace will rule and reign forever and ever. Oh, thank you. So, dear Lord, bless us now. Turn many hearts to you, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Hank's going to sing for us, Leaning on the Everlasting Arms. God bless you, Hank.
What a fellowship, what a joy divine, leaning on the everlasting arms. What a blessedness, what a peace is mine, leaning on the everlasting arms. Leaning, leaning, safe and secure from all alarms. Leaning, leaning, leaning on the everlasting arms. Oh, how sweet to walk in this pilgrim way, leaning on the everlasting arms. Oh, how bright the path grows from day to day, leaning on the everlasting arms. Leaning, leaning, safe and secure from all alarms. Leaning, leaning, leaning on the everlasting arms. What have I to dread? What have I to fear? Leaning on the everlasting arms. I have blessed peace with my Lord so near. Leaning on the everlasting arms. Safe and secure from all alarms. Leaning, leaning, leaning on the everlasting arms. Leaning, leaning, safe and secure from all alarms. Leaning, leaning, leaning on the everlasting arms.
Well, thank you, Hank. God bless you. Hank's been with us since day one and just as faithful as he can be. And I know it's about 37 years, 38, somewhere in there. And so I'm just thankful for his singing. And we need to remember that song, that underneath are the everlasting arms. And maybe some of you today, you're going through some hard times and difficult times, and you just don't know which way to turn. Well, just remember that he's with you always, and always remember that underneath are the everlasting arms, and remember that he holds you in his hand. Jesus said, my sheep hear my voice, and they follow me. I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, and I hold them in my hand. I hold them in my hand. They'll never perish. And so it isn't that we hold on to Jesus, but that Jesus holds on to us. He holds us. And that's the beauty of it. That's the joy of it. So thank God for this wonderful message we can give. So we're just praying that these services will bless you and help you. They'll bring you to Jesus, and then it'll help you through the hard times of life, because there's sin in this world, and we're going to be looking at that, because we're looking at demons, Satan's secret agents. Last week we looked at God's secret agents, and they're angels. But now we see the demons, and they're the devil's secret agents. And so the question immediately says, and by the way, I want to say this. All we know about demons and Satan and the underworld is from the Bible. You don't have it in any other book. You don't have it in any other dreams or visions and all of that sort of thing. There's just one book that talks about the underworld, about the spiritual world, the good spiritual world and the wicked world. And so that is from the Bible. So the question comes, where do the demons come from? And the Bible is exactly the place to look. And these demons work with the devil, and they go about to discover, to do all the evil they can and to afflict the people of God. We discover that Satan was originally created by God as Lucifer. Lucifer. God created Lucifer, and he was a beautiful angel, and he was beautiful until sin was found in him. And when sin was found in him, he was cast out of heaven, and he became the devil, Satan. And when he was cast out of heaven, the many angels were cast with him, and they became demons. Some people, Bible scholars, think that a third of all the angels went down with Satan when he was Lucifer, when he cast out of Satan. So that's where they come from. Lucifer is created by God, and when he sins, and we're going to look at what that sin is, and he was cast out, and we took with him many people, many of the angels, and they became demons, and they follow him today. Well, let's look at Satan before his fall. He says his name was Lucifer. There are two passages of scripture that paint the picture of this being. The prophet Isaiah puts the question. He says in Isaiah chapter 14 and verse 12, he says, "How art thou fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning?" He said, "Why are you cast out of heaven?" And then the prophet Ezekiel tells a story. And not that he saw it, but God revealed it to him. The account is given in Ezekiel chapter 28 and verse 12. And Ezekiel talks about Lucifer before he's cast out of heaven and becomes Satan. He says, "You are the model of perfection, full of wisdom and perfect in beauty." He was perfect in every way. He was perfect in intellect. He was perfect in beauty. And not his own, but it was a reflected beauty of God himself upon this angel. And listen to the description. It says that every precious stone adorned you, the ruby and the topaz and the emerald and the chrysolite and the onyx and the jasper and the sapphire and the turquoise and the beryl and all of the rest. He says, "Your settings and mountings were made of gold in the day you were created by, and they were prepared." Ezekiel 28, verse 13. So we look at where Lucifer was placed. He was a guardian cherub. He was a guardian angel. In Ezekiel 28, verses 13 and verse 14, "You were in Eden, the garden of God. You were on the mount, on the holy mount of God. You walked among the fiery stones." And so he held a high place in the very throne of God, a part of God. And just amazing. And so sometimes something terrible happened to him. Sometimes these things happen because we can't help it. But this is brought on by Lucifer himself because he became proud. It says in Ezekiel 28 and verse 15, he said, he's talking about Lucifer, now this creation by God. He says, "You were blameless in your ways from the day you were created till wickedness was found in you." So look at what happens. God accuses this chosen cherub, this chosen angel, Lucifer. He accuses him of being prideful, of self-will, of violence. And this is what Ezekiel tells us. He says, he gives the account. "Through your widespread trade, you were filled with violence, and you sinned. So I drove you in disgrace from the mount of God. I expelled you, O guardian cherub, from among the fiery stones. Your heart became proud on account of your beauty, and you corrupted your wisdom because of your splendor. So I threw you to the earth. I made a spectacle of you before kings. By your many sins and dishonest trade, you have desecrated your sanctuaries." That's Ezekiel chapter 28, verses 16 to 18. So he talks about the high position he had. And then the prophecy goes on in verses 18 and 19. God says, because of his sin and his wickedness and his pride and all, he said, so I made a fire come out from you, and it consumed you, and I reduced you to ashes on the ground in the sight of all who were watching. All the nations who knew you were appalled at you. You have come to a horrible end and will be no more. So that's the prophecy when he's going to be cast into the lake of fire, the end of that prophecy. So there you have Satan was not created evil. He was perfect until he turned to sin. And because of his sin, he's cast out of heaven. And someday he's going to be put to the ashes. He's going to be put into the lake of fire forever and ever. Now Isaiah talks about the same thing. And he talks about him in Isaiah chapter 14. He says he looks upon the cause of the rebellion of Lucifer. Why did Lucifer turn? He had this place at the very throne of God. And why did he rebel against God? And he opens it by saying, O morning star, son of the dawn, or O Lucifer, son of the morning, how are you fallen from heaven? You've been cast down to the earth. You are once laid low by the nations, Isaiah 14, verse 12. Now listen to Lucifer. He is filled with pride. He's filled with self-will. He's there at the very throne of God, and he becomes proud. And Isaiah talks about it. He says five times he puts forth his will. And Isaiah records it, and he says, I who said in your heart, I will ascend to heaven. I will raise my throne above the stars of God. I will sit enthroned on the mount of assembly on the utmost heights of the sacred mountain. I will ascend above the tops of the clouds. I will make myself like the Most High. That's Isaiah chapter 14, verses 13 and 14. Now, what does all this mean? Well, first of all, Lucifer wants to take God's place. He says, I will ascend to heaven. That is God's throne. I am going to sit above God's throne. I'm not going to be an angel anymore. I'm going to be as great and greater than God. I will ascend to heaven. And then he says, I will raise my throne above the stars of God. I will sit enthroned on the mount of assembly. The stars and the assembly undoubtedly have reference to the angels. And he is Satan, is aspiring. He's Lucifer now, but he's going to be Satan. He's aspiring to be greater and rule and reign over the angels, over everything. And then third, Lucifer is determined to take God's likeness. He plans on angels to worship him. And he's gone so far, but the greatest of all was his terrible pride. Unbridled pride, runaway pride, out of control pride. And God says, pride goeth before a fall. And that's so we have the account in Isaiah 14, verse 15. This Lucifer, this mighty Lucifer, this created angel by God, he says in Isaiah 14, verse 15, you were brought down to the grave, to the depths of the pit, and pride turned Lucifer into Satan. And he was cast out of heaven. He was cast out of heaven. And at first, in Luke 10, verse 18, Jesus refers to that very time. He said, I saw Satan fall like lightning from heaven. Jesus telling of when Lucifer is cast out of heaven, fell like lightning from heaven, and he became Satan. And with the fall of Satan, there's a host of angels that came with him and joined the rebellion. And as I say, in Revelation, it talks about the great dragon, and he swept his tail across the skies, and he took down one-third of all the stars. And they think that's probably a picture of Lucifer being cast out of heaven, and he took with him a third of the angels of God who became demons. And they whirled in his kingdom, and Satan fell, and the end they fell with him. These demons then think, believe, and hear, and speak just like the devil. And they work with the devil, with Satan. And James in chapter 2 and verse 19 says, you believe there is one God? Good. Even the demons believe and shudder. So the demons are the saints, are the angels of God, of the devil. They're the hell's angels, you could call them. And James, and so this passage, this came about that the demons began to, before the resurrection of Christ, would inhabit people. And so you have the story of Mary Magdalene, and Jesus drove seven demons from her in Luke, in Mark 16 and verse 9, and in Luke 8 verse 2. So he, and then he had, he, the, but after the resurrection of Christ, and he gives us the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is so great that demons can never inhabit, never overtake a Christian. They can maybe tempt us and do things like that, but they will never be in us because our body is the temple of the Holy Spirit and the Holy Spirit dwells therein. So the demons cannot possess a child of God. Sometimes people say, oh, I think he's demon possessed. Well, he may be an awful wicked. He may be drift away from the Lord and get into sin, but that demons can never inhabit a child of God. So we're safe and secure that way. In 1 John chapter 4 and verse 4, John tells us, greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. The Holy Spirit was within us. The devil is in the world. And he says, greater is he that is in you than he that is in the whole in the world. So we give ourselves to God because the devil will. He'll try to tempt us to do evil things. Demons will try to get us, tempt us. They'll try to discourage us. They'll try to make us doubt God. They'll afflict us in many ways like they did with Job. But praise God, they can never possess a child of God. They belong to him. We belong to him. And so there it was, Adam and Eve. They're placed in the Garden of Eden. And the devil comes and he's going to tempt Eve. And he can't, and he gets her a sin. And Adam falls with them. And they fall into sin. That's the work of the devil. And so this wonderful God is greater than all. And he tells of how that he's cast the angels in prison. There are some demons that he has put in prison. For instance, in 2 Peter chapter 2 and verse 4. And Peter writes, God did not spare angels when they sinned. So these angels that sinned, that is, they became demons. They went with Satan. God did not spare angels when they sinned, but sent them to hell, the heart of the earth, putting them into gloomy dungeons to be held for judgment. And so they're going to be judged someday, especially for some reason, I don't know, maybe they were closer to the devil or other. But Peter says there are demons that are in prison right now, waiting the judgment of God. But there are demons that follow him. And so these demons now, where are they now? They used to be in heaven with God. Now they're all over the earth. They travel all over the earth seeking who they could. Like Satan told God and talking to Job. They're talking about Job and God is talking to the devil. And the devil said, I've been searching all through the earth. He's trying to find all the trouble, all the grief he can do. And so these people that are following him. That when we follow the Lord, we come to Jesus, he's going to fight us. He's going to try to get us proud. He is trying to get us off on a sidetrack. And so that's why Paul writes. And he says, we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers, against the ruler of darkness. That's the devil and the demons, and against spiritual wickedness in high places. And here they are to fight and to cause us. And and another thing we have to be careful about, when we talk about sickness and infirmities and ailments and the like, those things come upon all kinds of people everywhere, all over the world. But when the real being comes, when the real testing comes, he comes to our mind to turn us against God. He comes us to act, to hear, to see, to obey, and it gets to the place where pretty soon they'll say, there is no God. And they worship the devil. And they become atheists. And that's where the demon works, to take them away from God so they keep their eyes blinded so they can't come to a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. It's a horrible picture. And among with that is Satan's cunning. He is so deceptive. And he knows how he blinds the eyes of people so they won't see the glorious gospel. And that's why we have to witness and we have to live that life. And we have to be patient with people because all of our eyes were blinded before we came to the Lord. And then when we see Jesus, we see the light. I came to the light. I see it now. We get letters all the time or quite a few times where people will say, I never realized it till I accepted Jesus. And I see it in a different light. And everything is different now. And I have peace now and I have joy now that the world can't take away. And so St. Paul tells us you have to be very careful. This is what he tells us in 2 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse 11. He says you need to be careful lest Satan should get an advantage of us. For we are not ignorant of his devices. And Paul calls them devices, that is his methods, his designs, his intentions, his schemes, his plans, his wiles. He deceives us all of the way in so many ways. And listen to this if you want to shudder. This is what St. Paul tells us in 2 Corinthians chapter 11 and verse 14. He says that he masquerades as an angel of light. The louse, can you imagine it? You never read a good thing about the devil, and he's going to come as an angel of light. And unless we know Christ and stay close to the Christ and know the scriptures, we can be caught up because he's going to do some miraculous things to deceive the people of God. And that's why he has so many evil names. When you look in the Bible, well, I put down some of the things he's called. You never read of a good thing about the devil or about Satan. In not one single word, he never does a good thing. Every good gift and every perfect gift comes from the Father above, from the Father of lights. You never read of one good thing the devil does. He just tears down and causes grief and death and sorrow. And if he can get your soul in hell, he will do it. But I put down some of the names. His name, Satan, means accuser. He's called the devil, means slanderer. He's called the dragon, that ancient serpent in Revelation 20, verse 2. He's called the tempter in Matthew 4, verse 3. He's called Beelzebub, the prince of demons. The devil, the prince of the demons. In Matthew 12, verse 24, he's called the father of lies. In John 8, verse 22, verse 44, he's called a murderer from the beginning. The same verses has John 8, 44. He's called Beelzebub, Lord of the flies. In Matthew 10, verse 25. He's called Belial, meaning worthlessness or ruin, 2 Corinthians 6, verse 15. So that's what we have to deal with. That's what the Christian has to face. The meanest, the loneliest, the lousiest, the orneriest, dirtiest being on earth. And there are fools who worship the devil. Actually foolish people. Worship the devil. I tremble for them. I tremble for them. And I beg you to turn to Jesus, the light of the world, because no good thing will the ever devil do. He'll never help you. He'll never do a thing. He'll never bring any good into your life, but only evil. So what's going to happen to hell's angels? What's going to happen to the devil? Well, if you want to know the destiny of Satan, turn to the Bible. And at the end of the Bible, in the book of Revelation, chapter 20, verse 10, he writes, the devil that deceived them was cast into the lake of fire and brimstone, where the beast and the false prophet are, and shall be tormented day and night forever and ever. You see, friends, that is exactly where you're going to be. If you walk with the devil, you stay with the devil. That's why God made hell. He made it for the devil and his angels. He never made it for human beings. He made heaven for human beings. But because we've sinned, we have to get to heaven through Jesus. Where our salvation is a person. It's not a rite. It's not a ceremony. In the church, I love the church, but the church can only tell the way and point the way. That's the purpose of the church. And the way is a person, is a man. It's the man of God, the man from God. There is a man sent from God. His name is Jesus, and he's God, and he's man. And when Peter wanted, and when Philip wanted, or James, Thomas wanted to know the way to heaven, Jesus says, that wonderful heaven. And he said, oh, I want to go there. And Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. And he got very narrow and he said, no man cometh unto the Father. Nobody gets to heaven except through Jesus. And that's what we preach all of the time. We're preaching today, come to Jesus. Because if you don't, you're going to perish in your darkness. And all you can expect is be with the devil and his angels. And God and Jesus, when he was here, he wept over Jerusalem because Jerusalem rejected him. And when you turn your back on him and you reject Jesus, it makes him weep in heaven because he knows what's good, the end is going to be. He's going to be in the place of torment forever and ever, and there'll be no coming back. If you're going to be with Jesus in heaven, you have to come to him right today. You have to come in this life because after death is a judgment. It's all settled then. And how do you come to Jesus? Jesus says, him that cometh unto me, I will in no wise cast. As many as received him, to them gave he power to become the children of God. That's what he's telling us. And so you receive Jesus. And you do it so simple that a child can do it. You just tell Jesus, oh, Jesus, I've sinned against you, oh, God. I've sinned against you. And dear Jesus, I know you shed your blood for my sins and you were raised from the grave. You don't need to get into all that. You just say, dear Jesus, please come into my heart. Take away my sin. Use your own words. And you say, well, what sins should I confess my sins? Billy Graham says, if there's some big sin that really bothers you, confess that sin. But you can just say, I'm a sinner. And he knows it, but he wants you to confess it. I'm a sinner. And I don't want to be in the kingdom of darkness because the light of the world is shone. And the light shone into the world and the darkness comprehended it not because it knew not God. But that light will pierce into that darkest night and it'll pierce through those blind eyes that you have and it'll touch your heart and you'll touch your heart and I'll tell you what'll happen. You'll touch your heart, you'll feel like, I need Jesus. I want Jesus. I don't want to be on the devil's territory anymore. I need Jesus. And you pray that prayer in your own words and he'll save you. And I know that's happening all over the world. Now, you write to us, and we'll send you literature. You write to us, the Christian Worship Hour. And the box is 2002, and we're in Aberdeen, South Dakota, 57402, or ChristianWorshipHour.com. You write to us, and we'll send you literature. And pray for us, and send us a gift if God lays it on your heart. Pray about that matter. And if you want to get our little paper that we send out, ask for that. Just put new song. And we have a little pamphlet on, can you lose your salvation? No, you cannot lose your salvation. Once you're saved, you're always saved. Put on there, ask, I want the little booklet on salvation. It's free and postpaid. You can send a gift if you don't have anything like the people in prison. We'll send it anyway. But we're just praying that we'll hear from you. Now, I want to pray for you. I want to pray, first of all, that God will be glorified. And I'm going to pray that people will be saved. Then I'm going to pray that all the people having trouble and the shut-ins and the aged and all the rest will find comfort. Dear Jesus, we just thank you for being our Savior. We know that the devil goes about like a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour, but he cannot touch the people of God, the children of God. And so may many turn to you today. Maybe young people having troubles and they don't know which way to turn. You'll guide them. You'll direct them if they just call in the name of the Lord are saved and ask the Holy Spirit to guide them and get out the Bible and read the Gospel of John. And those on beds of sickness, help them. Pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. So now we hope we'll hear from you. I'm going to give the address again for those on short wave, because I know the short wave in 90% of the world, and you can't see it on the screen. It's the Christian Worship Hour. The box is 2002, and we're in Aberdeen, South Dakota, 57402. Just this last week, we got a letter from Havana, Cuba. Somebody got us on shortwave radio and wrote to us, and we prayed to him, and we were already written to him and sent him literature. We'd love to hear from you. And then maybe you could tell others about the wonderful gospel of Jesus Christ and how that we're going to serve the Lord. And next week, the Lord willing, we're going to talk about how to be like Jesus. You accept Jesus, now we want to be like Jesus. And so we're going to look at his life. Now, you'll never be perfect. So when you make your sins, you fall or you fail, you just ask him, which says in 1 John 1:9, if we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins 1,000 times over if you need to. And then you just get up and serve him the best you can. And you'll never be perfect till you get to heaven. But so we just work at it all the way along. And you pray for us and we'll pray for you. God loves you. Christian Worship Hour loves you. And we'll look for you next Lord's Day, next weekend.
My dad loved to preach because he got to tell people of the saving grace of Jesus Christ. For the 76 years he was a pastor, he wanted everyone to know that Jesus loved them, died for them, and rose again, so that anyone who calls upon his name and repents of their sin will have eternal life in heaven. And for those of us that have received Jesus and are born again, Dad wanted to encourage us to grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior. I'm Mike Salem. To learn more about having a relationship with Jesus, visit our website at cwh.org. You can also stream this message again, as well as other 30 and 60 minute programs. Locate a station in your area. Subscribe to our monthly newsletter called A New Song. View frequently asked questions answered by Pastor Salem, as well as newly released devotions, and submit a prayer request on our Pray For Me page. Our weekly program will also be available on our website, our Facebook page, and our YouTube channel. We hope you have been uplifted by today's program. Please pray for this ministry and help us financially to continue proclaiming the gospel through the Christian Worship Hour. We would be most grateful. Thank you, and God bless you.